It is Friday, November 11th.
Another week in the books.
Another week. But we're going to have another message today. This is part two from a message that Pastor Robert Rodriguez shared here in America's Keswick during our 99th summer season. He and Pastor Sam did a study on the book of Ephesians, and Pastor Rob is just a great communicator. He is a board member here at America's Keswick. He also was a summer staffer.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's really hard for me sometimes to believe that he ended up being a pastor. But you're going to be blessed today. Let's study the word today with Pastor Robert Rodriguez.
So in verse 12, he goes on to say that we were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Okay, so we're outside of the family. Gentiles were never in the family. We're foreigners and covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. It is such a bleak history that we have without Jesus. The Jews had this rich history of God working, of God moving, and still were lost. But the Gentiles had nothing to cling to. They had nothing to say, hey, we are one of them because of that. They had none of that. It was bleak. And so what were they? So Paul emphasizes that Gentiles were what? Number one, that they're separated from Christ. Right? Before Jesus, you and I were separated from Christ. The second thing is that we're excluded from the citizenship of Israel. We had nothing to do historically with God's promise. We're foreigners. We don't even know what the promise is. And so because of that, we are what? Without hope and without God in the world. And we talked about this yesterday. Sometimes the only thing we have is hope. And so you take hope away and that's it. And imagine the nation of Israel having God, not only on their side, but his presence, being his special people. And he said the Gentiles don't even have that. And so Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, he was given to the nation of Israel. He's been given promises, covenants by God, that there would be this Messiah that would come. This gave them hope. This afforded them an avenue to God. Gentiles didn't have this advantage of knowing that there was a way to God. A Gentile might convert to Judaism, but then what happens is that they would no longer be a Gentile. They would now be what? A converted Jew. So anybody who stayed as a Gentile knew nothing. And so true Gentiles, people who didn't even find out about Judaism, had many religions and many gods. And the one God that they didn't know, they didn't acknowledge. So think about this, completely outside of God's family, completely outside of the knowledge of God, and you have the nation of Israel who had all this stuff going for them. And then verse 13 says, but now Christ, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The only thing that brings us into proper relationship with God the Father is a personal relationship with God the Son through his blood. Simply knowing about Jesus doesn't cut it. Going to church because grandma and grandpa used to go there doesn't cut it. Knowing verses in the Bible and being able to quote them doesn't cut it. Knowing that pastors, you know, are faulty men, and that, you know, you followed a pastor one time and he led you astray or hurt you, and so you don't follow Christianity, like you worship God wherever you want, that don't cut it. The only thing that takes us to heaven and forgives us of our sins is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and by his blood. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood. The Bible is clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. The Bible says that Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The only thing that truly saves us is receiving the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The ones that the Jews were waiting for are the ones that Gentiles can call on. So because of God's mercy, because of God's love, he did not leave us in this hopeless condition. So Christ abolishes, this is what he does. Because of the blood, this is what the blood of Jesus actually does. It abolishes the line between those with all this cultural and ethnic and biblical knowledge of being a Jew. It abolishes that line between them and those who know nothing. They are no better than they are. It's not about where we come from, it's about who we know. And if we don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter if you were born in church or born in the gutter. It don't matter. The only thing that gets you to heaven is a relationship with Jesus, not because we're anything special, not because we have some sort of special knowledge, it's because God simply loves you and had mercy on you. All people are considered the same before God. The only thing that abolished this wall between those with all of this knowledge and those with no knowledge is that Jesus Christ died for all. Christ abolishes this line. And so because of this, because of God loving us, because of God having mercy, because of God sending his son, verse 14 says, for he is our what? Peace, who made both groups one and did what? Tore down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh. So what did he do? What did God do for us? He made peace for us and him. Notice, God didn't wait for you to come to him. God didn't wait for you to clean up your act. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is not waiting for you to get better. God is not waiting for you to get, you know, reformed. God just wants to save you. You can't save yourself because you've tried, and what happened? So God wants peace. God wants peace to be two things. He wants it to be vertical. He wants us to have peace with him. But also what? God wants the peace that we have with him to be translated also into peace with other people. Right? So he wants, here's what he wants. And for that first century church, he wanted Jews and Gentiles to be at peace with one another. And he wants both of them to be reconciled to one another and to be at peace. And so how do people who don't get along, how do people who come from different backgrounds, how do people who are at such odds finally be reconciled to one another when they're first reconciled to God through Jesus Christ? You won't have restored relationships if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no hope for reconciliation if you don't have a relationship with Christ. The Bible says, for he himself is our peace. So this animosity, this hatred toward each other, the Jews and Gentiles, it created this wall of separation. So Christ abolishes that wall by saying, hey, you're not a Jew. You're not a Gentile. You're in me. Right? Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything is new. And it doesn't mean that we stop having a cultural identity, but it means that we're not defined by that culture. We're defined by Jesus. We don't establish for ourselves what our identity is. Our identity is in Jesus. And if we remember, like we talked about last night, if we get off that, we're going to be off course. And all the fights and all the struggles that we have in 2022 because of politics, because of religion, inside and outside of churches, is because we forgot that our identity is in Jesus. Our identity is not going to be in Fox News or MSNBC. Our identity is not going to be on what position you stand on Roe versus Wade. Our position is in Jesus Christ. Because then he'll tell you what positions are and everything else. Your favorite preacher isn't going to be where your identity's in. Church, your church is not your identity. Your identity's in Jesus. Verse 15 says, the Jews kept the law, Verse 15, that he made no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. So remember back, what happened? The Jews kept the law with all the commandments and all the regulations. Gentiles didn't know about any of those regulations, so they weren't keeping them. And so this created what? A barrier. Jews were doing all these things. The Gentiles were doing nothing. So the reason when Jesus Christ died, he satisfies all of the things that the Jews were doing. And so he takes out this barrier between those who didn't even know about those things. So now Jews don't obey the law to come to Jesus. The Gentiles never obeyed the law, so they don't need that to come to Jesus. And so now this distinguishing feature between the two is gone, and now there's peace. Once we get all of our distinguishing features that we like to use as tokens and trophies about who we are, once those things go away, now we can start talking about peace. Paul puts it this way in Philippians chapter 3, I considered everything but dung to simply know Jesus Christ. Literally, it was garbage. It was refuse just to know who Jesus is. All the good stuff I did, all the bad stuff I did meant nothing to simply knowing Jesus Christ. And that's what this church is experiencing. So God did more. If you look at verse 16, he did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put hostility to death. So what is that verse talking about there? It was God's purpose to do more than just unite two parties that were fighting, okay? It's nice, right? You know, like if you got two siblings or two parts of the family that are always fighting, it's nice if you can have a Thanksgiving where everybody gets together and just gets along, right? Isn't that true? Sometimes when our families, all we want is our families not to fight, right? We're not even looking for reconciliation. We're just looking for no war, right? I just want to get some turkey. I just want to get some gravy and go home. That's it, right? I wanted peace. God does more than that. And that's what I want to share with you is we need to desire more than just not fighting. Right? You need to want more than just God not being mad at you. You need to get to the place where you recognize your identity is so just wrapped in your Savior that you know that he loves you. And you know that he is for you. So it's more than just having the wall down. It's you establishing a new foundation in Jesus. And so this purpose is more than uniting two parties. He creates a new one that will learn together how to have a relationship with God. So here's what the cross did. The cross took away the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, right? And he brought them together as one. He brought us all together as one so that we in Christ Jesus can know more about him. So can I put it this way? You grow in your faith when you grow in community. You're not supposed to do this on your own. If you say it's just me and God versus the world, baloney. It's supposed to be you and God and the other brothers and sisters in Christ who are also going on this journey. Recovery doesn't happen in solitude, right? Sobriety and cleanness doesn't stay because of solitude. You need accountability. You need brothers and sisters. And so God eradicates the walls to put us together so that we all can learn about God together. So the cross destroys this division. So here's what true reconciliation looks like. Here's what true fellowship looks like. It looks like you and I walking down the road together in love with our Savior and in love with his word. That you have a group, a band of brothers that walk together, a group of sisters that share life together, that we have churches that learn about Jesus together and come together for worship and for mutual fellowship, that they're not looking to get something out of church, that they want everything to come from Jesus. That's what reconciliation looks like. So Paul in verse 17, he quotes Isaiah 57, verse 19. And here's what he says in verse 17. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. So Paul's showing that the word of God expected that the Messiah was going to come. The Old Testament said the Messiah's job was to be to reconcile both Jew and Gentile. Those who were far away, he's talking about the Gentiles. Those who were near, he's talking about the Jews. That those who had all of the experience, all of the history, that they were near, those who were far, and now they're both together, right? Look at verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So what does it mean that we have access? Okay, what does it mean that we come together? So Jesus preaches a message of peace, of reconciliation through the gospel of both Jews and Gentiles. And because of the cross, he brings them together, right? What's the one mediator between God and man? The man Christ Jesus, right? And so who's the mediator between all the nations? It'll be Christ Jesus. It's through the gospel that we come together. It's not just, you know, a good politics and being a good neighbor. You have to know Jesus for this to happen. And the Bible says that God sends the Spirit of God to all that believe. And so what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit opens the door for what? Everybody who's now been taken outside of the Jewish culture and outside of the Gentile culture, and now they are all been put into the Spirit of God. And what does that mean? We now all have immediate presence of God. The Spirit of God isn't something that just comes upon someone like the Old Testament. When you, as a New Testament believer, come to Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells you the moment of salvation. That you go from having no God to having God indwelled inside of you. The Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity, lives inside of you. And that power is given to everyone that believes. And so we see this is how the Trinity works in salvation. The Father developed a plan of salvation through grace. The Son carries out this plan to bring Jews and Gentiles together. And how do we get access to God to keep it all together? The Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is alive and working in your life. So verse 19, man, all Jews are and Gentiles are no longer estranged from each other. They're now considered what? Fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. So no race, no nationality, no socioeconomic status has anything to do with this. Everybody who's been rescued and redeemed through Jesus Christ are now in God's presence and in his family. We're now called God's people. The Bible uses the phrase in Greek, hagion, meaning the holy ones. That God's people were literally considered the set apart ones. And in the Old Testament, this described who Israel was. But now Jewish Christians, now first generation Gentile Christians, and now all have the same title. They are no longer alienated foreigners with no citizenship papers. They are all inside the family of God. That we're all together. That we live this life together, that we do these things together. Let's look at verse 20. Another so then. Okay, so because of all that, so then you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. So he switches now. Okay? And now he switches to a metaphor of a building. We're no longer foreigners. We're no longer outside of the nation. We're all in God's family. We're all citizens of heaven. This is why you and I need to have reconciliation and unity with one another. Our unity is in God, so that means our unity is now in one another. We're all part of God's family. We're all on the same team, right? With all that being true, now he switches it to what does it mean to be part of a building? And he says, Jews and Gentiles are all stones in a building. And the building rests on a solid foundation. What is the foundation? He says who? Of the apostles and the prophets. So I want you to think about what does our building rest on as a foundation? The faith, the testimony and the life of Christ's closest followers, the apostles. I want you to think about what God did in the lives of all of those men. Some were simple fishermen. One was a tax collector. One was a zealot. These guys had no preaching experience. These guys were all going their own way until Jesus called them. And Jesus changed their life. Their life was never the same. They, after Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came down, what happened? They start preaching the gospel around the world. They remained faithful to the point of death. These men and what they experienced and what they believed and the message of the prophets in the Old Testament and what they preached, this is the solid foundation that we're on. So for those who came from Jewish descent, they had the Old Testament prophets. For those who were Gentiles, they had the message that they heard really recently. And they all come together. See, but a building isn't anything unless there's a cornerstone. The cornerstone holds everything together. The term is actually taken from Isaiah 28, verse 16, and it's probably interpreted in light of what it says in Psalm 118. So what the question is, which building stone is meant? The cornerstones to which all foundations are connected, or the capstone or the keystone, the last one that comes together? So the Ephesian church could have interpret it any other way, but here's the thing. Either if Jesus is on top or the most important thing in there, he's still Jesus and we're not. Right? He's the most important stone of that building. So whether we want to accept what the prophets preached or whether we think that it's legit enough to think about all what the apostles went through, when it comes down to it, it's what they relied on is what that we rely on. Christ. And what he's done for us. So verse 21 says this, these stones are living. In him, the whole building being put together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So these stones aren't dead. These stones grow. And what do they build? They build this living spiritual temple to glorify the Lord. So in the Old Testament, remember, the presence of God filled and inhabited a literal stone building. So now the Bible says that God doesn't live in a stone building. Where does he live? In our hearts, right? The Holy Spirit is inside of us. And so Christ is this unifying factor that puts these stones together and doesn't just create a building. What do these stones create? A temple, a set apart building. And this temple, God receives worship and praise. And the hearts of the believers are the basic worship place of God's kingdom on earth. So where does the most powerful worship take place? From us. It doesn't take the most skilled band. It doesn't take smoke and lights. It doesn't take an auditorium. It doesn't take an event on Eventbrite. Where does it come from? Us. Our worship. Remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us, remembering where we came from, and remembering who we are now and who we are together, that's the worship that builds this temple. So Paul concludes the chapter by saying in verse 22, in him, remember he's used that phrase a lot, right? In him, you are also being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. So he wants to remind us. He wants us to remember something at the end of this chapter, especially to the Gentile Ephesians. There's no room for self-pity. God included them. We're included in. We're in God's family. In Christ, they're being built into the temple along with Jewish Christians. So what happens is that God creates this huge worship center from us. I want you to dwell on that and think about that when we talk about unity. That where we came from, we all came from a place of being lost. Regardless of whether you grew up in church or not, regardless whether you had organized religion or not, regardless of how much scripture you think you know, how close you think you are with God, without Jesus Christ, you're lost. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you come just like everybody else comes, you come at the foot of the cross. And when you and I receive Jesus Christ, we're invited into a family that all of us are now in. And when we're in this family, what is our purpose? To recognize where we came from, to realize what God has made us, to realize what God has torn down to put us together in order for us to do what? To be a factory and a temple of worship. That's what keeps us unified. Reconciliation happens when you and I are unified with Christ and unified to one another. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Christians are praying. People are doing business with God. I want to ask you, what part do you have in unity? What part in unity do you have in your church? What part do you have in unity of your family, Colony, Barbara's Place? What are we doing to broadcast and proclaim unity in Christ? Maybe the first question is this: do you have unity in Christ yourself? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If I was to ask you this way, would you say you and Christ are on the same page, his page? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you received forgiveness of sins? Is that something that's done? If you say, hey, me and Christ are unified, is the answer because you go to church or because you receive Jesus? So if you're here and you say, Rob, I don't think I've received Jesus. I think my unity is really shallow, or I'm not sure about it. I'm concerned, Rob. Can you please pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I would just love to pray for you. No one's going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, the Bible says the only way for us to have forgiveness of sins is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. No one seeks after God. Everyone has gone his own way. And the Bible says that because we don't have a relationship with God, the Bible says that you and I have come short of the glory of God. That every single one of us has character defects. We have flaws. We have things that we've said, things that we've done, things that we've thought that were against God. And the Bible says the wages of these sins, the wages of these character defects, is that you and I are going to die. We're spiritually dead as it is, the Bible says, without Christ. And the Bible says that one day that spiritual death also includes a physical death, and that we're going to be separated from God for all of eternity. For the wages of sin is death, and death and hell were cast into what the Bible describes as a literal lake of fire. Hell is what our destiny is without Jesus. And you may say, hey, my life is hell here on earth. It's nothing compared to what you experience in hell. The verse goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're here and you say, Rob, I don't know for sure that I have unity with Christ. I don't know if I have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I've never called on Jesus to save me. I like to worship. I like to go to church, but I don't think I have Jesus as my Savior. If you say, Rob, I really need to establish a relationship with God, and based on those verses, I think that my destination is not heaven, it's hell, and I really want to call on Jesus. Would you raise your hand again if that's you? And you say, I'm just not sure. Yes? Here's what I want you to do, okay? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to tell you what to say, but here's what you got to talk to God about. You got to tell him that you recognize that you've sinned against him. You got to tell him that you recognize that without him that you don't go to heaven. And I want you to ask Jesus to save you. I want you to ask Jesus to be your Savior and to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. The Bible says if you call on Jesus, he will save you. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. And I want you to talk to God about what he's talked to you about. And if you receive Jesus tonight, I want you to look at me when you're done. Okay, so we're all going to keep our eyes bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray. Father, I have some dear friends here who've raised their hand acknowledging that they need to trust you as their Savior. So God, I'm just introducing you to my friends. You know who they are already. I just want to be polite, Lord. So they're going to talk to you now, and they're going to ask you, if they're willing and you're moving, they're going to ask you. So I pray that you listen to their prayer and that you would save them and bring them into our family. So take some time, talk to God about what he's talked to you about. Acknowledge who he is, acknowledge who you are. Receive forgiveness from him, receive Jesus as your Savior. And when you're done, just quietly say amen, and you can look at me and then we'll know we're done. Remember, it's not the words you say. It don't got to be perfect. Just talk to God, man. Just talk to him. It's all right. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. The Bible says the angels rejoice just when one person comes to him. God, thank you. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for continuing to call people to yourself. Thank you for saving us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all God's people said, God bless you. Have a good night.
Okay, before we get into our announcements, I always forget to talk about this, but okay. We have an opportunity for you to dig deeper into the Word of God. We have partnered with a ministry called Right Now Media, and they have a couple thousand Bible studies and things for kids and teens. And if you are not a part of that Right Now Media family, we want to make it real easy for you. You can join the Keswick Right Now Media family, and there is no cost. This is not a gimmick. Mm. This is our way of saying thank you for being a part of our ministry. If you will send us or call us with your email address and your name, we will add you to the list. And I'm telling you, there are some great resources. We use them all the time. Yeah. If you've got grandkids, it's a great way to introduce your grandkids, the VeggieTales, all that good stuff are on there. So if you'd like more information about Right Now Media, call 1-800-453-7942. This is not a gimmick. They're not going to ask you for money. This is our gift to you to say thanks for being a part of our ministry. Okay, awesome. What's taking place now?
All right. Well, we're coming off a really great week, but we have more. Okay. So coming up next week, today's Friday the 11th. On Thursday the 17th is Beyond Youth Night. It's a really cool night. Youth groups come out. They'll experience worship together. They'll experience fellowship together, and they'll experience the word being preached by Pastor Graham Wilson.
Good. Yeah, Graham was a staff member here, grew up here at America's Cousin, and now serves on the pastoral team at Wellspring Church in Toms River.
Yep, so that's $10 per youth group.
If what? Whoa.
$10 per youth group.
Not per student.
Per youth group.
Okay. And this event is, you don't drop your teens off, they come as a youth group.
Yeah, actually the first one of the season, we had a time where they each split up and they prayed together as groups.
That's cool.
It was really cool. Okay. So $10 per youth group. If you want to register, please do that, just so we know the numbers. You can call 1-800-453-7942, or you can visit the website at www.americaskeswick.org.
Awesome.
Okay, so that's the 17th. That coming Saturday, the following Saturday, the 19th, is our second annual Thanks for Giving Turkey Trot. 3.1 miles, it's a 5K. I think most people know it as a 5K. 3.1 miles to raise $31,000.
Maybe that was a gift.
That was.
You know what would be fun? He'll probably shoot us for this, but we should have Zach go out on, not necessarily run, but he should go out with the drone, and then we could show them what the course is going to look like.
The course?
Yeah.
And we could have it the day of, following people.
That'd be cool.
Can you have a voice thing where you can yell at them? Faster!
That'd be cool. He could go and show them what the route's going to look like.
I love
like.
That. Yeah.
All He's right. going to love us All for this idea.
He loves using that drone.
That's
right. So 3.1 miles, $31,000 for the Addiction Recovery Ministry. Once again, please register for this. 1-800-453-7942, or you can do that on our website, www.americaskeswick.org. It's $35 to register for the race and everything that comes along with that day. If you want to just come as a spectator, it's $25.
Okay, and we're getting close now to the middle of the month, so let's talk about Thanksgiving weekend. We've got a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving Day, we have our annual Thanksgiving service here at 10:30 in the Robert Hayes Auditorium. You're welcome to join us and be a part of that great morning of praise and Thanksgiving. And then we have a weekend planned.
We do. We have our holiday hangout.
Okay.
That's going to be November 25th to the 27th. And you're going to have to remind me, who's speaking for that?
I believe Jim Lang and Pastor Noah.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's going to be great.
Awesome.
And as a part of that weekend, we have our Christmas cantata with the Keswick Celebration Choir. I think we're going to call it the Christmas Musical. We were using cantata, and some people thought that was a new Mexican food.
It sounds like an egg dish.
It's a Christmas Musical. If you'd like to be a part of the choir, we actually are starting our rehearsals. I want to encourage you to check out the rehearsal schedule online. We'd love to have you be a part of the choir, but we'll talk a little bit more about that next week because it's coming up quick.
Absolutely.
Check it all out, 1-800-453-7942, or visit our website, www.americaskeswick.org. Hey, have a great weekend. Join us on Monday, Worship Live at 1:30.